Good evening. This is Bill Blatchford with Blatchford Solutions. Tonight's special guest, we have Dr. Robin Wise from Thomasville, Georgia. We have a nice group of people. We have basically almost all of our lines filled up with doctors on this call. So, Robin, must people want to hear what you have to say, what you've done in the last couple of years. Robin, by the way, by introduction, has been practicing for a number of years. I'm going to let Robin talk a little bit about himself in a few moments. But we started to work together in November of 2004, so Robin's been working with us almost 2 years now and has accomplished a number of goals he set out to, has dramatically increased his net income, is taking more time off, and is enjoying it quite a bit more. And so tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to Robin. I'm going to ask Robin some questions. And then I'd like, as Clay Smith in our introduction said, if any of you doctors on the call would like to ask Robin some questions, you will have to hit the 6 button on your phone again to unmute your phone and ask Robin some questions. And feel free to ask him anything procedure-wise, what he has done, what we have worked with in our coaching program, what he does differently in his practice today. And Robin has promised to be very forthright with you and share pretty much what's going on in his practice. Robin, why don't you give us a little background of yourself? Why don't you start with a little bio, where you went to school, how long you've been in Thomasville, how you ended up in Thomasville. I know Thomasville's a relatively small town. It's only, if I remember right, about 35,000 people. It's in southern Georgia. It's relatively, probably the next biggest city would be Tallahassee. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, Robin, why don't you give us a little bio?
I sure will. I had to set an alarm clock to get up and talk to you this late at night over here on the East Coast. I am originally from Thomasville, and it's really the town itself is only about probably 25,000 people, so it's a fairly small little burg. I have been...
Why don't you speak just a little bit louder?
I will try to.
There you go.
I went to school at Emory University, undergraduate and dental school in Atlanta, and I came close to staying in Atlanta, but the pull of the small town where I grew up was too great. I love to hunt and fish and like the small town life, so we've been back here practicing for 31 years this month, and I know that I assume that people on the call are at different places in their career, but I don't think that really matters.
Well, Robin, we have people here tonight from as far east and south as Florida, Georgia, as far northwest as Washington, California, Maine, Vermont, pretty much all across the Midwest.
I'm talking about where they are in their practice.
Well, they are. They're all, and I recognize some of the names, and there are people here that are relatively new in practice,
yeah,
and there are people
yeah.
have been at it longer than you and I've
exactly.
been at.
Exactly. So, I think that's great, because I don't think what you do for dentists and what you have done for us is not probably guys starting out would benefit just as much as people who've been in it for 10, 20, 30 years or more.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your practice, where you were. Give us some numbers, you know, really kind of where you were. I remember one of the numbers that you had was your staff overhead was at 25% to 28%.
Mm-hmm. I am in a solo practice, and I have five full-time staff, a front desk, two hygienists and two chairside assistants, and my wife also works mornings at the front desk. She
uh-huh.
does a lot of the financial part of the practice, and you know, we, as I told you, Bill, when we first met and started, I used that analogy of the golf game. I've had a pretty good front nine. I'm making the turn, and I would like to have a career back nine.
Uh huh.
And
I remember that.
You have kind of put us on that track. You've given us a lot of things that will help us get there. And what I liked, what has appealed to me is I'm not counting the days to retirement. I love what I do. And I like the fact that you said, well, heck, we can let you retire as you go.
Mm-hmm.
I have worked with a lot of consultants over my 30 years. I've had a lot of big name people in my office.
Which is, I'm going to say, is a large reason that you're part of your success is you have worked with a number of people.
Yeah, I have just felt like that's something you need to do. But almost to a person, the people I have had in my office tended to preach, get an associate, get bigger, get more, get busier, and that did not appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a smaller, slower paced practice, but I needed to find a way to make that profitable.
Uh huh.
And
Robin, why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, what we talk about as the Retire As You Go program?
Retire As You Go. That's it. I couldn't think of the words you used, but that really appealed to me because I told you, Bill, when we sat down and my wife and I met you and your wife for the first time, I think it was in November of 04 perhaps, and talked about goals and this sort of thing, and you studied where we were. We talked about just that, you know, are you ready to retire? Could you retire? And I said, well, you know, fortunately I don't want to retire, but if pressed, I would probably tell you, no, I cannot retire today.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave us, as it shook out, eventually you gave us a goal of what we needed to be putting aside and how to go about doing that. And we have been following that for now for 2 years, and I think we had about a 10-year plan, if I'm not mistaken,
mm-hmm.
of what we, if we put X number of dollars aside per year, we would be at this point, and certainly I felt like with that I could easily retire.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have 10 years as a date that I want to retire. I have relatively young children still, and still have college to go, so I don't want to retire, but maybe work less.
Yeah. Well, here's just if I can interrupt for a little bit. For those of you listening, my Retire As You Go program, I've been on it for 30 years. The Retire As You Go program that I have done is I've listened to a lot of people on the retirement subject, and one is a man that was very involved in the life insurance industry, and he said that the actuarials will tell us that the average American male who is self-employed will be dead within 6 years of the time they retire. Excuse me, 18 months. I'm sorry, 18 months, and their female, and that's for a male, and their female spouse will follow them 6 years later. And so I've always wondered, I mean, ever since I started in this, you know, 37 years ago, I said, now, why would anybody want to have a goal to put themselves so I can retire? Now, one of the things that I do teach is get yourselves in a position financially. You could if you wanted to, or could if you had to, but create a practice that is, not just create a practice, but create a life. Create a life that is so much fun and so fulfilling that you absolutely enjoy it, and then create a practice to support that life and have a practice that is fun and fulfilling and profitable so that you actually look forward to Monday mornings, so you actually look forward to going to work. I always tease a little bit in seminars and say that my father left my brothers and I in a position we never had to work for a living, and so then everybody says, oh yeah, then that's why Blatchford doesn't have to practice and he can do coaching and seminars because his father left him a lot of money. And then I go on the second sentence, and my father, well, first off, he's 89 and still alive and is doing well, but he's not going to leave us any money at all. But one of the things he instilled in us is the fact that you always want to follow your dreams and you want to do what it is that absolutely, and it's not just fun, it's the fulfillment. And then you design a business to support that, and that's one of the things that I think my brothers and I we've laughed about this fact, that the fact that all three of us are unemployable. In other words, we couldn't work for somebody else. That's just not part of our makeup. It's just we're unemployable, and so I think that is this Retire As You Go program, and then be profitable enough that you can put enough money away that if something happened and you had to retire, you know, a health issue or something, or a family issue, you had to retire and move. Yes, you could, and then, or if you decide, hey, I'm not having fun anymore, and I want to. So you want to put that in place, but then design it as to retire as you go. So Robin, this year you have started doing that, and a part of the Retire As You Go program I believe you're taking quite a bit more time off.
We are. You challenged us when we first came on board to take 8 weeks of vacation a year, and that just that was almost inconceivable to me. I would maybe take 3 weeks a year, and it was always a struggle because we would have staff pick out the week they wanted to go, and this staff person pick out the week they wanted to be off. And you taught me, or you suggested to me, that hey, just sit down with your team at the first of the year and with a calendar say these are the weeks the office will be closed. And we have done that, and I tell you, the morale and the camaraderie of the staff has just been unbelievable. We simply close the office up for a week, or this year we're actually taking a two-week block here starting next Monday, and it has worked beautifully, and the staff just loves it, and we've had very little fallout from that. We used to struggle with sick days, and
so your morale of your team is a lot higher.
It has just really been a very positive change in our office, and you know, people come through the office and they just sense it. The patients or the guests in our office, they sense the fact that everybody gets along and enjoys being there. And the comment is always, boy, I wish I could work in a place like this.
Well, the interesting thing is, and one of the things that I see as well is for the clients that work with us and take the time off, is that they don't have any shortage of people that want to work in their office. And I've always said that I would like my clients to have the highest paid staff in town, and we want people lining up to work for you so that
you can get the pick of the best people.
You can get the pick of the best people.
Yeah.
You know, I do need to interrupt this call for just a moment. We have some breaking news from Omaha, Nebraska, that Oregon State's baseball team just beat Arizona State 6-1. Oh, it's still going, Carolyn says. Well, we'll probably have more breaking news as the game goes on. So Oregon State is in the town that I practiced in for 20 years, and last year they won the College World Series in baseball. It's the NCAA baseball championship. First time Oregon State ever won a national major championship, and he lost 9 of his best players, and here he is going again, and he's right back there at the College World Series again, and they've won their first. They're 6-1, and it's pretty neat. So we'll.
That is breaking. That is big news.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
All right.
So here's the theory that we do on vacation time. Again, this all goes back to designing your life the way you want it. Robin and his wife Gina wanted more time off. Now, I've worked with a fellow that years ago told me that you need to figure out how much time you want to work, and then schedule around, or how much time you want a vacation, and then schedule around that. And my wife and I have done that literally for 40 years. And when practicing dentistry, I used to take the month of August off, and I did that for years, and it never made any difference at the end of the year. But I can tell you the experiences we had in that month with our family certainly was more valuable than the money I would have made in that time. And I remember listening to a man years ago that was in the life insurance business, and he only worked 120 days a year. And so what he would do is he would work about 2 weeks, and he'd take a week off. And so I said, wow, that's really neat. And then, of course, everybody comes up with the yeah buts, why that can't happen. And his response to that, to other people in the life insurance business, was, he said, look, the only difference between my vacation time and yours is I take mine in a resort, and you take yours at your desk. And that's what I found in so many dental offices, that many dentists and teams are taking a lot of vacation time at the office. And if we learn some systems, and we put this in place, and we get very effective when we're there, we can take a lot more time off, and we can still produce the same or more dentistry. And I have been coaching dentists now for 20 years that we can take 6 to 10 weeks vacation a year. And I have some clients currently that are taking a week off every month. And you know, the interesting thing is, if any of you have read our book, Playing Your A Game, the most productive people in that book only work 3 days a week. And so that tells me that people can be a lot more effective when they do get out and recreate. And so in Robin's case, he's now taking 8 weeks off. And now, Robin, is this the first time you've taken 2 weeks off in a block?
It is since you and I have been working together.
So you've done that in the past, so that's good.
Okay. I've done that in the past, but that may have been my only vacation that year.
Okay. So we really encourage you. And now you're working, Robin, you work what, 4 days a week?
I work four. Sounds like I need to cut down some more.
And what are your hours?
8 to 5.
Robin, I know you've done a lot of, you've done a lot of CE. Would you consider yourself well, everybody considers themselves a cosmetic dentist, but give us an idea of your mix of treatment. I mean, how much of your income comes from cosmetics versus general dentistry, and how would you classify
I guess.
Or time that you spend on each, perhaps.
I would say it's cosmetics / comprehensive dentistry is probably 40 to 50% of our practice.
Uh-huh.
At least.
And, uh-huh.
You know, and we do most of that during the morning part of the day. We may see just one patient or one or two patients and do, you know, a quadrant or an arch or sometimes more than that. But then in the afternoons, we put in the other stuff you have to do, you know, the fillings here and there and the whatnot. But we try to come in the morning and really be playing our A game, you know.
Yeah. What would you say, what's happened income-wise since you started taking this much time off?
Well, we've probably increased it by 50% or better.
Are you talking net or gross?
I'm talking net.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking net. Pre-working with you, I would say we would, on an average month, produce maybe $40,000 to $50,000, and now, just an average month will be $65,000 to $70,000, and has averaged even higher than that for some months at a time. It fluctuates, but I would say on average, I haven't looked at the summary of the BAM summary, but just last week. But I would say we're somewhere in the 75 to 80 thousand production.
Yeah, and now how you raised your net quite a bit. What changed on your expenses? I mean, your lab bill obviously went up because you're doing more lab cases.
Yeah, lab bill went up, but.
And salaries went from about 28% down to 20% because your team bonuses most of the time.
Yeah, they do.
Tell us a little bit about how that bonus system works and how it motivates your team.
That has been a tremendous motivation for our team. We track that daily. I mean, we look at that every morning in our huddle before we start. They know exactly where they are. We have a goal to where we have what is a break-even point, so to speak, what we have to hit to break even.
You Southerners are so polite. It's called bare-ass minimum.
Bare-ass minimum. There you go. And so when you get to that point, then the bonus system kicks in, and the team as a whole gets 20% of what we make over that bare-ass minimum.
And that BAM is based on, it's a system that everybody understands. It's a system that was developed by another consultant and myself about 25 years ago.
And it's not just on production. It's obviously production and collection. So everybody is involved, from the hygienist trying to sell dentistry and the front desk person collecting for it on the day of treatment or in many cases before the treatment is done.
Oh, so and it's based on, and the BAM is based on, it's very simple. If you want to be at 20% for staff salaries, you just take all the staff salaries, add them together, add your payroll cost, any cost associated with those employees like medical insurance, pension plans, et cetera, multiply that total by 5, and that's BAM. And they all know what BAM is, and it's not...
They know exactly what it is, and I would say since we have been on this system, they have averaged $8,000 to $10,000 a year per team member
mm-hmm.
in bonus.
Yeah.
And you think they don't look at it, and if there's a minute that something's not going on, they're trying to put somebody in the team.
Well, you see, it becomes their money.
It's their money. You're right.
You know, where I learned this system is my next-door neighbor, when I was practicing dentistry in Corvallis, was the manager of a tire shop, the Les Schwab Tire Store in Corvallis, and Les Schwab just died about 3 weeks ago at 90 years of age, and he created the most successful tire business in the United States. He was the owner of this whole thing, 440 stores and 7,000 employees, and one of the things that made him so successful was that he divided his net profit every year with his team, and this is why when you pull onto one of his lots, people literally run to your car. And this is one of the things that impressed me. And so I said, we've got to find a way to motivate team members in dental offices. How do we turn them from staff to team? And one of the things is you've got to give them some rewards. And the reward system has to be something they can understand. It can't be arbitrary because it can be manipulated, and that's not fun. They know exactly what the rules are. They know what they have to do. One of the things that we mentioned in seminars, and Robin's team knows this, is there are no more raises from this point forward. The only way they will get an increase in pay is by increasing Robin's results. And if the results increase, which is production and collection, they can get a raise.
We have not changed their salary a penny
in
the last 2 years,
and so
other than they get the bonus.
And the other thing that occurs, of course, is that they're in control of how many people we hire, because we can divide that by five. In Robin's case, we can divide it by four. And one of the things that we find is situations like this very often is we'll have five, and then maybe somebody moves or somebody leaves for a maternity leave or something, and the team will get together and decide, you know, we don't need to replace that position because we can handle it. We can do it on our own. And, of course, then they basically divide up that person's salary between them. And it is amazing. Robin, talk a little bit about what you have done this year differently that raised your production so dramatically. I mean, what did you and your team do? I mean, some of the steps that you've done, what are you doing differently now? I mean, that's, I think, what people want to
hear. Well, you know, I hear from you and from a lot of people, you've got to figure out a way to separate yourself from everybody else, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm. Differentiate yourself.
Differentiate yourself from just the, you know, the run-of-the-mill general practitioner, which, you know, I there's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
I was going to say, a dentist is really a great place to be, and 99.9% of the population of this country would like to trade with any dentist in the country.
You bet.
It's a real accomplishment to pat ourselves on the back for accomplishing, but the point we're making is, how do you distinguish yourself from every other dentist in your marketplace?
You've got to find, and I go back to the book, The Purple Cow. You've got to find your purple cow.
That's Seth Godin.
To distinguish yourself. And, you know, a lot of that in our office is service that we give to the patient, but we also, you know, we're always looking for something new. Just in the last few months, I have been to get certified or trained in treating sleep apnea with oral appliance therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody in our area, you know, I was talking with the pulmonologist, the sleep doc here, and he said, man, we need this. There's nobody that does this. And so I said, well, this is something I'd be interested in. Well, it is just cranking, but it is. I foresee it being a huge
Well, one of the things that we do coach doctors to do is learn to do something and don't all try and be the same.
Right.
15 years ago, I was coaching a lot of doctors to move into the arena of cosmetics. As a matter of fact, I work with another doctor in your town. And I believe Tommy Oppenheimer is signed up for this call. He may be on the call tonight.
Good.
Really distinguished himself by becoming the cosmetic dentist in that area.
Sure.
Has published articles in AECD Journal.
Oh, God, does a great job.
Does a really good job. And what I see in so many communities is, okay, here's somebody successful doing cosmetics, so let's all try and be cosmetics.
Yeah.
And, you know, my point for years has been, and I've been coaching doctors for a number of years now, to look for something else, because how many dentists in the United States or how many dentists in a community can specialize in cosmetics. And yet everybody wants to go there, and it's a very highly competitive area. In some cities you go to and you pick up the local glossy magazine, and there are 10 or 12 pages of dentists all advertising exactly the same thing, and sometimes it even looks like the same ad agency did the ads for all of them. Mm-hmm. And so I said, yeah, find something to distinguish yourself. And sleep apnea is one, IV sedation and implants, cosmetic dentures. There's a whole bunch of things that you can do today to distinguish yourself differently. Robin, how are you presenting dentistry different today than you were presenting a couple years ago? Just in a nutshell.
I think I try to listen more to the patient than I always talk too much, and I try to find out why the patient is there. What can we do for you? And asking a series of questions that you have taught us to do.
Robin, how much of that process is done by your team members today?
Probably 90% of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're better at it than I am, and the patients.
I'm glad you said that. I was not going to mention that, but I've observed it is
relate
true.
Relate to my team better than they do to me. Mm-hmm. I'm there to sell them something, obviously. I mean, they're there. They don't want to be there in some cases. But the team members become their ally.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, they are good at it.
They are good at it.
They are getting better at it. We're not stars, let me tell you that. But we have made some strides, and it has really... It has really shown up in the bottom line.
And have your team be on the staff call tomorrow night.
Yes.
There's a lady on the staff call from one of the offices in our book that their team is averaging $2,300 a month in bonus money.
Wow.
Yeah. And have them be on that call, and they'll set some new goals for you.
Yeah. Yeah. They. You know, it's interesting. We have a weekly staff meeting, and that has become, that is what we spend a lot of the time on. What do we need to do? How can we get these numbers even better?
Mm-hmm.
And they are there to, they feel a part of it rather than just being an employee.
What do you think, what has pulled that together? I mean, you truly have what I call a team. And one of the subjects that I spend quite a bit of time on with our clients is how do you go from staff, which one of our clients said staff is an infection.
Yeah.
I have a team. How do you go from staff to team? I mean, what are the factors that you see today that have been so critical making that transition?
Well, the first thing I would say is the fact that they were involved from virtually from day one. Now, granted, Gina and I met with you and Carolyn first before the team was introduced, but then they were there. They met twice, now three times, with you, and not just meeting with you, but they interact with other teams, and they get input. They get to share what has worked for them. But they also get a lot of great ideas from that too.
Yeah, I think they get as much out of that as they do from me.
Oh, I think they do. There's no question because they get on the staff calls, and they have become friends with some of these staffs, particularly in our area here. And mm-hmm. they communicate with them, and you know, how are you guys doing? What's working for you? This is something we did. You might try this. That has been one of the greatest things as far as the team formation.
What I find is fun in a team situation is it's real difficult to come up with excuses why it won't work for you, and there's somebody sitting across the aisle at the next table who's been doing it for several years and it's working really well. It's real hard to say that won't work.
Exactly.
Robin, something else you've done an excellent job with. Your accounts receivable are always in pretty good shape, but you've changed some things in your practice in a financial financial arena. Also, what are the changes you've made there?
I hesitate to say that we have eliminated insurance from our practice, but we have made it a very minor player in our practice.
Mm-hmm.
And our patients they know when they come in or when they make an appointment, they know right from that moment what the fee will be, and that they will be responsible for taking care of that fee when we see them. And many times, Kathy, our front desk, will even collect that before they come, when they make the appointment. You say, well, if you'd like to take care of this, we'd give you a bookkeeping credit or courtesy discount, whatever you want to call it. And people love that.
Yes.
That appeals to a lot of people. We have also made it easy for people that can't come in and write a check for $10,000 or $20,000 to be able to make payments, but I'm not their banker. It is done through an outside.
We're using CareCredit, which is one of my sponsors, and also helps sponsor this call
today. Wait a minute now. Gina is telling me differently. Capital One, I believe, is one we use, but we have used CareCredit. I will tell you that.
And you see, this is just using good common sense to use outside financing. It's called consumer credit, invented in 1917 by General Motors, and the American public has well accepted this concept.
It has been a real plus for us.
And so you need to. Well, I'm going to do this, Robin. I want to thank you. I'm going to open this up to some questions. I've asked you a few questions. I would like to ask anybody on the call that you might have some questions for Robin. Some of the things he's done, some of the things he's talked about. How does he do it,
Bill?
Yes.
Let me mention one other thing. You're talking about in the financial arena. We have. I can't tell you, but
I don't know. He texted
of,
me.
Credit cards on file for our patients.
Yes.
And that is a great way to get out of the insurance game because in some cases we will file, we know ahead of time what the insurance will pay, and we tell the patient, we will be happy to put the balance on your credit card.
Excellent.
And that has been a big help in cutting down on our receivables.
So you're just not sitting on that money, sending out two or three statements trying to collect
exactly.
it.
Exactly. We have cut, we've sent very few statements.
So, you've made it, you've gotten out of the banking business, you're available less, and your production has gone up, you have a smaller staff, your net has gone up by 50%, mm-hmm. and there must be a glitch in all this, so some of the doctors on the call, questions for Robin.
Yeah, when you're calculating the BAM for staff salaries,
yes.
do you include the owner's doctor's salary and the associate doctor's salary when calculating BAM?
No. We do not include doctor's salary.
Okay. Thank you.
It wouldn't come out of 20% if you did, because you should be taking out somewhere around, the doctor should be taking out somewhere around 50%. Most of my clients have overhead right around 50%, right. Some slightly over, some slightly under.
We are right around that mark.
Other questions?
Dr. Robin.
Yes.
How many new patients are you seeing each month, and how much important is this to the practice?
We are seeing probably on average about a new patient a day. I think it is the lifeblood of the practice. The focus of a lot of our staff meetings is what can we do to generate new patient flow. Our team will go out and take a basket of cookies or something to the real estate office next door and a stack of business cards.
Mm-hmm.
They see more new people coming into town. We court these people. You want to look for any? Yeah, it is extremely important.
Can I ask a question? About what percentage are you spending on marketing? You're in a relatively small town, so you're probably not spending a lot on media.
We're not spending a lot. Now, you know, I will preface that by saying, I came out of dental school in 1976, and back then, advertising, marketing, whatever you want to call it, was a no-no.
Yes.
I was brought up in an era when people quibbled over the size of letters on your Robin Wise DDF sign out front.
Yes.
And now it's commonplace. You know, people are on radio, TV, print media, you name it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have not embraced it openly. I mean, I have not embraced it fully, but I think that we will be. We are working with an agency right now, Rocket Dog, who will be helping us. They help us with our website. They will be helping us with our sleep apnea program that we're just rolling out here right now.
And that's one of the things that I see with marketing, is all marketing helps all dentists, because it raises the public's awareness of what we offer, and maybe some of these people will drive their car another year and have some dentistry done.
Yeah.
And so it's something else. Okay, other questions for Robin?
Could you repeat how the BAM is calculated?
Yeah, you simply take, now it depends what percentage you choose to use. We have clients that use anywhere from 15% of their growth goes to staff, and that would be a high-end practice that's doing mostly cosmetics or large restorative cases, practically no hygiene. Maybe one, using an example of an office I work with that only has one day a week of hygiene, is doing approximately $2 million a year, and that's because they depend on new patients and are doing large restorative cases, large cosmetic cases, and referring them back to their wherever they came from. He's not a specialist, he's a general dentist. So, and then we have all the way to a practice that's almost a pedo practice, who has three full-time hygienists, and he has a well child program, and so he's got a high, and he may use 22-23%. So if you're going to use 20, which is what most of my clients use, you add up all your staff salaries. Staff includes the administrators, the dentist, the chairside assistants, and the hygienist. It does not include doctors or associates. You add up their total salaries. You add in the total of all payroll costs. That would be your workman's compensation, unemployment insurance, pension plans, health insurance programs, anything that it costs to have that person there. It does not include CE courses or uniforms, because those really aren't benefits to them. You simply add up that total, multiply by 5, and that number is what we call BAM. And that is what you have to produce and collect. And so we take the average of production and collection. And once you hit BAM, staff salaries will automatically be at the 20% level, because that's what BAM is. And then what happens is they add that up every month. As a matter of fact, they keep, as Robin said, they keep track of, the team knows this on a daily basis, where they are for the cycle. And we use a fiscal cycle rather than a calendar month, because if Robin takes 2 weeks off in a given month, there's no possibility. So we add up the number of days per year, divide by 12, and those become a cycle. So we add up the total number of collection and production during that cycle, and if it exceeds BAM, then the team shares the 20% of the excess. Now, that's really good, because remember, once you hit BAM, your salaries drop to the 20% level. And when I talk to teams about this, I talk about the fact of miles per gallon, and we're looking for efficiency. And so we take a team that's averaging, and by the way, the national average is close to 30%, and if we have a team that's, or an office that's spending 30% of their revenue on the team, that's not very efficient. And they have poor systems in place, or they have people that aren't trained in the systems, or they were just not effective. And so we know that we can do this at 20 or below, and it makes a huge difference on the bottom line. And so once we're hitting BAM, we're at 20%. I have looked at literally thousands of profit and loss statements, and dentists are looking mainly in the wrong place to save money. They're looking at their supply bill, or they're looking at their lab bill. Well, the supply bill is only about 5%, 5 to 6% to start with, and you look at the amount of energy that doctors spend trying to save 1%, in other words, trying to cut their supply bill by 20%, which is only 1%. They spend enormous amounts of effort on that, and yet they hire extra people who may spend 25% of one person's time pouring through websites, catalogs, etc., trying to find the cheapest gloves on the planet. Well, you spend a lot of money to find that pair of gloves or that impression material or whatever, but yet we're operating at 30% on team. So if we get it down to 20, there's 10% of your gross, and that goes straight to the bottom line. Now, that's only if you hit BAM. Once you pass BAM, remember, out of the last dollars you make in any given month, all your fixed costs have already been paid. You give the team 20%, pay your lab bill, and the rest of it's profit because the fixed costs are already covered. And when the team has that incentive to exceed BAM, you see, there's a lot of profit there. One of the things that I was recently speaking with an accountant who called me, and he said, you know, I've noticed that two of my clients are working with you, and they've been with you just a little over a year, and this is the first year I did their taxes, and we had quite an increase in net income. And I've worked with this client for a long time, and we never really knew where to look to save money. And I said, well, let's take a look at the P&L. And the thing I showed the accountant, I had the accountant go down through it and compare the numbers. And he said, well, most of these things haven't changed very much except one. I said, what's that? I already knew the answer. Staff. Staff had gone from 29% to 20%. Well, there's 9%. This particular doctor was doing right at $1 million. There's $90,000 in net income right there. You see, and so he said, oh, I see. So, you know, it makes a huge difference. And actually, it was more than that because his production had also gone up. But that's pretty much how it works. And then we run a 3-month average, and then we divide that amount of money equally between all full time staff members.
Yeah, it is a running average. That's exactly right.
So there are some technicalities to it, but it's an amazing system.
And I'll build another part of that equation when you're talking about staff efficiency. Is cross-training of our team?
Absolutely.
Anybody in there can do virtually any job that there is to do, and we work on that on a consistent basis.
If it's legal, we want them to learn to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they won't let anybody but me give an injection in Georgia.
So we don't stretch the rules. No. We don't go into the gray areas. But if it is legal,
anybody.
And that person is competent. If it's legal, we're going to train them to be competent.
Yeah.
So everybody learns how to collect money.
Yeah.
Everybody learns how to schedule. Everybody learns how to clean instruments. And I mean, it's all of those things. There's no one in the office, including the doctor, who can't do these things. Good point. Other questions for Robin?
Question?
Robin,
yes.
You mentioned that you don't do a lot of outside marketing. Do you do any outside marketing at all, any ads?
Yes,
we do
some print advertising. In local magazines, we support a lot of there's a big cultural center here that puts, programs, and we're in most all of those. But all of that is print ads. That has been done through Rocket Dog, helped us. We redid our entire...
identity package.
We redid all of our stationery, our business cards. They helped brand us, I get compliments all of it. Anytime I hand a business card to somebody, in fact, I had a patient the other day, saw one of my business cards. She was in the graphics business in a city in Tallahassee, which is 30 miles away. She said, man, those are dynamite logos and business cards you got. And I said, yeah, thank you very much. We've recently redone that and spent a lot of money doing it, but it really makes a difference.
It does make a difference. I read recently in a book, another book that I read quite a bit, I read a lot, but a fellow named Jeffrey Gittimer, who's a marketer and sales trainer, says if somebody doesn't say, nice card, 9 out of 10 times you give a card, you need a new card.
If
they're not saying that.
It's amazing. I go to the AACD meeting in Atlanta, and, on the exhibit floor, and virtually everybody you hand a business card to, wow.
It's really important.
Robin, I've got another follow-up question for you, too, on this. You've shown a real nice increase in your production. Do you have one or two things that you can look at and you can point to and say, wow, these were things that really, really affected my production in the office?
Something called block booking that Bill taught us to do would be one thing.
That's more effective scheduling.
Yeah, exactly. We will hold a long appointment up until maybe even the day before, and it is inviolate. We don't put anybody there if it's not for three or more units of laboratory procedure dentistry. And that way, if somebody comes in or comes through hygiene and wants to have it done, it's not, well, can you come in 4 weeks and we can do it then. We hold that appointment. And if we don't fill it, you know, 24 to 36 hours out, then my scheduler has permission to put two single units in there or whatever the case may be. That has helped us tremendously because they're out there looking for it. And one of the things Bill talks about is, would you like fries with that? McDonald's made a fortune offering to sell French fries with the hamburger. And, you know, we can fix this tooth next door to it. You'll be numb. Would you like to do that at the same time?
So two things that I would say, scheduling and the other one is the presentation skills.
Yes.
Of getting more treatment. And again, we would never present treatment that we would not present to our own family members. And one of my premises is no one needs any of this treatment, including no one even needs their own teeth. So now that we've established they don't need anything, let's find out what they want. Robin
right.
mentioned asking a lot more questions.
Right.
And we're selling dentistry as a discretionary item that is much different than saving lives. I mean, we're not, maybe in the sleep apnea area, we might be actually saving some lives, but this is not something that we're going to educate people into doing dentistry, and that's the premise we've tried for years and years and years, and it doesn't work very well.
Another one of my mentors is Jimmy Eubank. Who's
yes, excellent.
He taught me also when he's talking to his patients, there are two types of dentistry. There is patch and repair dentistry, and then there is comprehensive dentistry. And you're at the crossroads, you know, where do you want to go? And you tell them the benefits of comprehensive care. And a lot of people want that, but they just haven't been offered that.
That's correct. And that's part of the, you offer the best treatment available and let the patient choose. And my feeling is, it's, you know, I hear people talk about presenting unnecessary treatment, but I think it's all unnecessary, so now we've established that. But I think a big mistake that many dentists make, and one of the things that we keep track of is how much dentistry the client presents to the patients. And one thing I observe is that many dentists don't present treatment to patients for whatever preconceived notion we have about the patients. They won't accept it anyway, and so we just don't even present it. You learn to present it. Okay, I've got time for one more question for Robin. I want to wrap this up. And by the way, breaking news, Oregon State's ahead 8-1. I don't know which inning. Any other questions for Robin? Well, I want to invite all of you on the call. Several things. I'd like you to visit our website, and we will have a new website goes on up sometime between midnight tonight and 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. Visit our website. I'd like you to take a look at our coaching program. I coach about 50 new doctors each year. I limit it to about that many. If one of our representatives will call you, and my request is that to at least have the courtesy to say, hey, I'm not interested, but please return the call. If you're not interested, that's fine. If you're interested, explore it with our representative to see what possibility there might be for you. If you tell us you're not interested, we'll either keep, if you tell us I'm not interested now, we'll keep you on our mailing list and send you more notices by email of things that we're doing. Or if you're not interested at all, we'll take you off the mailing list if you prefer. One thing we've learned is not to bug people. We just don't do that. Also, we have our Blatchford Files, which is a monthly CD. I speak on a different subject each month, so you can listen to me on your way to work in the morning. We also have our Playing Your A Game. That is the book that we interview 23 offices, successful offices, various levels of financial success, but other areas, other ways to measure success as well. Also, we have some staff members in there, some of the things that they do. The great book, my wife wrote it, and we give the proceeds to the Juvenile Diabetic Research Foundation and the University of Oregon Dental School. And if you're interested in that, it's also coming out in audio. We'll be out in audio by fall. So thank you very much for your time.
Bill.
Robin, I want to thank you especially for taking an hour out of your evening to
My
be on
pleasure.
This call tonight.
And I would also say that if anyone wants to ask me something in a private phone call or email, I don't mind your office giving that information to any of the people that were on the call. I'd be
thank you.
To talk to any of them individually.
And if any of you want to give Robin a call or send him an email, I will, if you call that. Well, Robin, why don't you just give us your email now while you're on the number.
My phone number is area code 229-226-8481. That's my office, and you know, if I can't stop and talk to you, which I may not, but I'll certainly call you back. And my email, the best one would be gwise@rose.net. That gets checked daily. So
give that to us again.
It's G, as in golf, whiskey, I-S-E.
Okay.
At Rose. I like the flower. .net.
Very good. Well, Robin, thank you very much for this, and I appreciate your time on this, and I appreciate all the doctors being on this call tonight, and you will get a call from one of us, and again, just return the call and let us know if you're interested or not, and if you're not interested, Oregon State is now, I did mention, I said it's 8-1, and I want all of you to have a great summer, and get on in there and root for Oregon State.
Thanks, Bill.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Bill.